This morning we invite you to the book of Romans chapter 9. The book of Romans chapter 9. We will be finishing up this chapter this morning. The verses that we will read, which will be that of our focus this morning, is verses 30 through 33. Romans 9, 30 through 33. The Apostle Paul writes, "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which follow not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." May the Lord add his blessing upon that of the reading of his word this morning. This morning, as we come to the end of this chapter and we finish up the verses here, we begin that of a second division, which is found in Romans chapters 9 through 11. The first section covered that of Romans 9 verse 1 down through that of verse 29. And the second division, which we will begin with this morning, begins with verse 30, and it goes through Romans chapter 11 and verse number 10. And then, of course, the third division of these chapters is that of the remaining part of Romans chapter 11. Now, in the first section, the Apostle Paul dealt with that of the issue of whether or not God's word had failed. And in the very beginning of Romans chapter 9, and in verse 6, the Apostle Paul, he made it very emphatic that God's word had not failed. God's word had not fallen to the ground. You note there in verse 6 of Romans 9, he says, "Not as though the word of God has taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel." Now, previously to this verse, the Apostle Paul had spoken of the advantages of the Israelites as a people. The question that was in the picture here is, why were the Jewish people rejecting their Messiah? Why were they not believing in Jesus Christ? Whereas the Gentiles, they were receiving Jesus as Messiah. They were believing upon Him. And of course, the consequences of that of the Jewish unbelief being, of course, the judgment of God, and ultimately, that being an eternal judgment. Now, Paul had just spoken in the previous chapter in Romans 8 of God's purpose, how that it was unfailing. And so the question was, well, if God's purpose is unfailing, God's word to Abraham was that through him would be a mighty people that would come forth. The Israelites, God's people. So why were the Jews not receiving Jesus the Messiah? Why were they not believing upon Him? Was it because God's purpose had failed and now God had changed His mind and had changed His purpose? No way. God's purpose was not failing. His word was not falling to the ground. God's purpose was coming to pass, just as He said it would. Just as He said it would. Now, in this first section, the Apostle Paul deals with this question, and we need to understand and keep in mind that in verses 6 through that of verse 29, Paul deals with the answer to this question from the divine perspective. From the divine perspective. He says there in verse number 6, "Not as though the word of God has taken an effect, for they're not all Israel which are of Israel." In other words, Paul here in this statement, he makes it very clear that there is a group within that of Israel. God has made a distinction within that of Israel, the Jewish people. And God's word hasn't failed. Now we know there were Jews that did believe upon Jesus. But unbelief was widespread amongst the Jews in regards to the receiving of Jesus as the Messiah, that of believing in Him and upon Him. What was the answer? What was Paul's answer? Paul's answer was none other than the fact of God's unconditional election. God chose a people for Himself. And of course, as we know from our study, the past several, many weeks, we have learned that God is sovereign, that He's free. Paul raised up objections that he knew would be objections that would come to pass. Well, what right does God have to choose the people and not choose others? Paul dealt with that question. Well, if God chooses a people, if God predestinates individuals to life, if He chooses a people unto eternal life, and others He does not choose, well, doesn't this make man aware that he's no longer responsible? No longer accountable? Absolutely not. Paul says, absolutely not. Has not the potter power of the clay to make one lump unto honor and one unto dishonor? And then at the conclusion of that first section, Paul makes a shocking reality statement, truth. He brings forth a shocking truth. And that shocking truth is that God has chosen Gentiles. He has chosen Gentiles. This was shocking. For the Jews looked upon that of the Gentiles as ones who were dogs, that they were ones who were truly deserving of the judgment of God. But that was not the case with them. But Paul only makes this shocking statement that God has chosen Gentiles. But he also, in referring back to prophecy in Hosea and Isaiah to bring this forth, that God has chosen Gentiles, he also makes it very clear that out of Israel, he's chosen a remnant. A remnant. A small number in comparison to that of the number of the Gentiles. So that's Paul's answer to the question, well, why the widespread unbelief of the Jewish people? Has God's purpose failed? No, it hasn't. No, God's purpose is coming to pass. It's that we don't have, or we haven't had a full view of what that purpose is. It's been there all the time, all along. Now, beginning with these next verses that we're going to consider this morning, Paul is going to begin to examine the same question, but it's from another perspective. Israel's failure to believe. That is the perspective of the gospel being proclaimed and men and women, some believing and some not believing. What we learn from both of these sections is this. Paul viewed divine sovereignty and human responsibility as being complementary, not as contradictory. Because Paul, he deals with that of the divine side in chapter 9, and at the very end of chapter 9, he begins to deal with that of the human side. The human side. Divine sovereignty does not diminish human freedom and responsibility, and human responsibility does not diminish divine sovereignty and freedom. In other words, they're not contradictory to one another. Part of our message this morning, I've made Israel's rejection of God's righteousness, or God's righteousness rejected, would be perhaps a better title for the message. And as we consider that of our study this morning, we're going to be considering the Gentiles' reception of God's righteousness, the Jews' rejection of God's righteousness, and then thirdly, that of the stumbling stone and rock of offense, which is of course found in that of the latter part of these verses. First of all, let's consider the Gentiles' reception of God's righteousness. Paul, once again, he begins with that of a question. He says, what shall we say then? We've seen this question several times already here in Romans chapter 9. And we know that usually when we see this question, that there's another section. What shall we say then? Normally Paul is saying this in light of that of what has just been said. But this phrase or this question is also used sometimes not only to deal with that of what has been said, but that of an explanation or a conclusion. And both of these are true here in that of our passage. Paul, here as he begins this section, he asks the question, what shall we say then? And this is a question that is, you might say, transitional. He's moving from that of his arguments that he's presented, but also he's going to look further into that of what he has just set forth. And what has he just set forth? It's the fact that God has chosen from the Gentiles. And especially what he's going to deal with is the fact of the Israelites. The Israelites. You know, there in Romans chapter 9 and in verse 26, or verse 25, which we covered last week, he says, as he saith also in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not my beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, You're not my people. There shall they be called the children of the living God. As we considered those verses last Sunday afternoon, we pointed out that these verses, first of all, spoke of that of the Jewish people and how that they would be taken away out of the land, but then once again they would be restored. But Paul uses these verses with regards to the Gentiles. The Gentiles. Because in verse 24 he says, even us whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. For he said in OC, I will call them my people. Them, my people. Going back to the Gentiles. The last part of verse 24. Which were not my people, and her beloved was not my beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said unto them, you're not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Isaiah also cries concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of the Sabbath had left us the sea, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? In light of what has just been set forth, in light of that of the truth that God has chosen out of the Gentiles, and it seems like He's chosen a great number. But out of the Israelites, the Jews, there's only a remnant. What shall we say? What shall we say then that the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? Paul, first of all, deals with the Gentile situation. As I've already said, this is shocking. The Gentiles which followed not after righteousness. Note the description that Paul gives here of the Gentiles. They followed not after. Or the idea here is that they pursued not after that of righteousness or that of a right standing with God. They followed not after righteousness. They have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Wow. They did not pursue it. But they have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. You know, Paul, he gives a description in there in the very end of verse 30 to describe that of the righteousness that he is speaking of. It is a righteousness which is of faith. This righteousness being the same righteousness Paul has been dealing with from that of chapter 3. God's righteousness. Righteousness whereby men and women are made acceptable with God. They have a right standing with God. Then beginning with verse 31, Paul deals with that of Israel. Before we go there, let's think about the Gentiles. These are the ones that Paul wrote about in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's turn there for a moment. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 11, Paul writes there in Galatians chapter 2. Or Ephesians chapter 2, I'm sorry. In Wherefore remember that ye be in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Paul here is, of course, describing the Ephesian saints there. But note how he describes them. He describes them as ones without hope. He describes them as ones who was alien to the commonwealth of Israel. The promises, they couldn't claim them. And then in the book of Romans, chapter 1, he gives a description of the Gentiles. Ones who did not glorify God, who were not thankful, vain in their imaginations, foolish, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Just read there in chapter 1 to get a description of the Gentiles. They were in darkness. They did not pursue after God or that of a right relationship with God. In saying this, we're not saying that they were not those who were individuals in the midst that were moral people. You know, as we think about it today, we're Gentiles. And there is those who are individuals that are morally good people. In other words, they seek to do that which is good, that which is right, to live that way. They've been brought up in that of a home that is a home where those things that are right and good are taught. But the issue is they have not a right relationship with God. They have not a right relationship with God. Now Paul says, the Gentiles, they pursued not after the righteousness of God, but they attained that righteousness, even that righteousness which is by faith. Now, how? How did this take place? How did this take place? How did they come to that right relationship with God? How did they come to have that of the righteousness, which is the righteousness of God? It was by faith, beloved. And yet, as we would say this, we ought not to not look back in the earlier part of Romans chapter 9 and realize that ultimately it was God. It was God who chose them, who worked in their lives and granted them faith to believe. Same way with you and I today. Those of us who have come to faith in Jesus Christ. Had we been left to that of ourselves, had we been left to not having had grace shown to us, we would still be going down that of that path that leads to destruction. Now coming to the Israelites, you note in verse 31, he says, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Here Paul deals with the Jewish people. And he gives us the answer. And again, beloved, let us keep in mind that what we have here is that of the human side One individual that I was listening to said, you know, in the Bible there are truths, and then there are truths behind the truths. There are truths, and then there are truths behind the truths. And that's what we have here. You see, in Romans chapter 9, all the way up to that of verse number 30, we have that of the truth behind the truth. Why do men reject Christ? Why do men not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do men believe on Jesus Christ? Well, the answer Paul has already given to us, and that is found in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through that of 29. But now Paul is dealing with that of the human side, which is that truth that is before the truth that he set forth in the previous verses. It's the truth that men and women left to themselves will never come to God, except God intervenes in their life. But we have a contrast. And the contrast is between that of the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness and attained righteousness, even the righteousness of which is of faith, and that of Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness and did not attain the righteousness. The law of righteousness. In other words, they didn't attain that of a righteousness whereby they were accepted by God. A righteousness like Paul spoke of the Gentiles, a righteousness which is by faith. Why didn't they? They sought it not by faith. No, they saw a righteousness by that of works. By that of keeping that of the law. And later on in chapter 10, you know that Paul, and he further drills down on this. Verse 1, he writes, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." Here's another reason that Paul gives. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Paul, here in these verses, gives us further details on that of Israel and the fact that they saw it in their own way. Just like we see back in the book of Genesis in the very beginning, beloved, Cain and Abel. Cain brought that of the works of his hands, didn't he? And Abel brought of the firstling of the flock. As we've said many times, how did they know to bring of an offering unto the Lord to a certain spot? It had to be revealed unto them. We don't have all the details in Genesis chapter 4. Or in the book of Genesis, we don't have all the details. We don't have all the history of man in the book of Genesis, do we? But as we think of Genesis 4 and that of Cain and Abel bringing offerings unto God, it had to be revealed unto them. God had to reveal unto them that of the fact that they were to come and bring out an offering. I believe we have that of the instructions where God slew the animal and made coats of skin for Adam and Eve. I believe there we have the instructions that was revealed to Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve revealed it or taught that of their children. That's just my personal observation. But Cain brought of the works of his hands, didn't he? And Abel brought of the first of the flock, that of an animal. And that animal was slain. We know that from the New Testament scriptures in the book of Hebrews. But Cain brought of his hands, the works of his hands. Beloved, this has been the case all the way down through history. Men and women, in their natural state, they seek to make their own righteousness, to establish their own righteousness. Israel is attained. Why, verse 32? Because they saw it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Paul here takes two Old Testament verses in the prophet of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 14, and Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. I'm going to read them to you. Isaiah 28 verse 16 says, Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Isaiah 8, verse 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, Paul, he takes pieces of these verses and puts them together. Now, we realize that this is under that of the Spirit of God if he does this. He says that it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Paul brings these two verses together, and beloved, the truth that is set forth here is the same truth for today. We need to understand the context that these verses are found. In Romans, or Isaiah chapter 8, we have the Assyrian army that is in the context. The Assyrian army, which is going to come down upon that of the northern kingdom and that of the various nations around, and going to bring judgment and go all the way up to that of the southern kingdom, which is out of Judah, all the way up to the neck, is the way it's worded. But of course, Judah will be saved. Judah will be delivered. Those who have trusted in Jehovah will be delivered. Jehovah is a sure foundation. Those who trust in Jehovah, they have deliverance. But those who do not, those who refuse, those who stumble, who are they? Beloved, they're none other than the ones who do not believe, who do not rest in Jehovah God. And Paul here tells us of Israel, the Jewish people. He says, why did they not attain the law out of righteousness? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. That stone being none other than that of Christ Jesus. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes, in verse 18, For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But we have a but. But unto them which are called. Oh, there's that word called again. Unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. So why did Israel not attain righteousness? They stumbled at the stumbling stone. The rock. Rather than being a foundation, was a stumbling stone to them. The only sure foundation of hope is the Lord. And those who trust in Him, they shall not be ashamed. They shall not be ashamed. I remind you in closing, those words of our Lord in Matthew 11, where He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Beloved, the gospel invitation is come. Come. Come unto me. That's what Jesus says. And as you come with your filthy rags. Filthy rags of unrighteousness, of your own righteousness, which is filthy. Just as you are, trusting in Him. And will not turn you away. It's only those who come thinking that, well, you know, I'm not too bad of a person. No. No, those are the ones that aren't rich. They don't need the Lord Jesus. At least they think they don't. All right. If you have your bulletin, you'd like to close with another hymn that is in the bulletin. Let's stand.
Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to me and rest. Come no longer tarry, I your load will bear. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me. I am the word.